This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
The first week of the 2016 season is in the books for the Baltimore Ravens, getting a 13-7 win over the Buffalo Bills, and they still need help in the kick return game.
Well, they do. I mean, I thought the Devin Hester signing was a nice little way of lighting things up a little bit. It got people's, like, you know, eyebrows raised. Like, hey, how about that? Devin Hester, what a sexy name. And, I mean, he's got the he could very well go after the punt returns record, and that's something to behold. But, yeah, the kick return game still needs a little bit of help.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the kick return game, we were talking about it in several of the preseason games, especially the one that mattered. We were all focused on Navy standout Keenan Reynolds. Of course, Keenan Reynolds did not perform up to par to the Baltimore Ravens standards as far as the punt return and kick return game were concerned. However, he was good enough to make the practice squad, so that was some big news going into week one, that he didn't go to the New England Patriots as many people thought he would, because Bill Belichick, being a Navy guy, would have wanted a guy like Keenan Reynolds, and you know how Bill Belichick is with smaller receivers / quarterbacks, or former college quarterbacks, so to speak.
Yeah, and then the Ravens go ahead and sign one of the best kick returners in history.
Or at least in this era.
I would say one of the best, better in history, just because of how many he's got. But yeah, this era, 100%. Well, he was actually a part of an older era of NFL, because he's been in the league for years, like over 10.
Would you consider him a Hall of Fame returner?
Absolutely.
Will he go into Hall of Fame as a returner?
I would say, well, he has to go to Hall of Fame as his actual position, right? A wide receiver?
Yeah. So that's... That's going against him a little bit there.
Yeah, because kick returner and punt returner, I mean, not an actual, you know, main position that you would call it as. Like, long snapper isn't really considered that big of a position either. But you look at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, those are the types of categories that he would go in as. But I would say he could go, if Ray Guy, you know, would be able to go into the Hall of Fame, then why not Devin Hester? If the guy kicking the balls to the returner can actually get in the Hall of Fame, how about the guy returning them?
Yeah, that is an interesting point, especially with special teams nowadays. I think special teams is very vital in today's NFL, especially when you look at the speedy return guys who can get up the field and get you to the 40-yard line of your opponent's side of the field. That definitely helps your offense, and it definitely boosts the morale of the team for that remainder of the game. But speaking of morale going into week one, the Baltimore Ravens were going to be hosting the Buffalo Bills at M&T Bank Stadium. A lot of talk going around town. Finally, after years of radio and social media banter, we were finally going to get the matchup. Joe Flacco versus Tyrod Taylor. Joe Flacco versus the guy that some people think should have taken Joe Flacco's spot a long time ago.
Even when he was on the Super Bowl run.
Even when he was on that magnificent Super Bowl run that got him the Super Bowl MVP trophy and McDonald's ads. Yeah, that same Joe Flacco.
The McDonald's ads with Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, we're not talking about Colin Kaepernick. He's not with Baltimore in any way, shape, or form.
So that was, that seems like eons ago now. Like, two totally different eras of quarterbacking right then and there. But, yeah, the biggest takeaway for me in this Buffalo Bills game, besides the fact that the Ravens seem to have Rex Ryan's number?
So to speak, I mean, I do not remember Sexy Rexy, so to speak, ever getting one over on the Baltimore Ravens, especially since becoming a head coach, even with the New York Jets at the time as well.
I will say the Buffalo Bills are a team I like to watch outside of market, just because it's got Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan on the actual same team, and they're both button heads on the sideline. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor doing his thing for the Buffalo Bills, and the fans. I mean, have you seen the fans of the Buffalo Bills? They are a whole other class of fan in terms of National Football League fandom.
In a good way or a bad way?
That depends on your interpretation.
I will say they may be the most loyal fans as far as sticking with a team goes, because many people, if he would have lost 4 Super Bowls in the 1990s, I know many people that would have bolted after the third, but if you're there after that 0-4 90 stretch and you're still a fan of that team, you know what? God bless you. I'm glad that you're still a fan. However, if you're one of those delusional fans that think that Rex Ryan is going to lead you to a Super Bowl, especially while Bill Belichick is still in that division, you may need to get your head checked.
Wait, at least
that's my opinion.
Are you going with a Shannon Sharpism right here? You're going to probably say, I got a better chance of winning the Kentucky Derby on a donkey. than Rex Ryan has of winning a Super Bowl in that division.
You know what? I'm going to use that Shannon Sharpism and say yes. I do believe that. I mean, I think Rex Ryan is a great defensive coordinator along with his brother. As far as the head coach goes, he has not shown me anything yet.
Okay, then I'm going to be Skip Bayless and say the Cowboys are winning the Super Bowl.
With Zeke Elliott? Yeah. Yeah, and Dak Prescott.
Oh, wow. That was spoiled big time because people were getting ready. ESPN was getting the Dak Prescott sidebars ready. They were getting the graphics ready for Dak Prescott for his big moment. They're like, yes, the Cowboys, they're going to get a win week one. They're going to be relevant again. And then the guy couldn't get out of bounds.
Well, ESPN, actually their SportsCenter Facebook page as of the recording of this podcast on Wednesday, September 14th, they did put out a, I guess, an opinionated picture with Terrell Suggs wearing a Joe Flacco. It looked like a politicized shirt that said elite with Joe Flacco in yellow and purple. And, of course, well, the Baltimore Ravens answered this. Well, you fans answered this. Is Joe Flacco elite? And, of course, you avoid – if you're a sensible football fan, you normally avoid that kind of confrontation because that just brings out the worst. And so it brings out the best and the worst in social media, depending on which side of the aisle you're on.
Well, I kind of liked it when I saw it at the, what was it, the Democratic National Convention or was it the Republican National Convention where somebody actually had a sign out, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? Because that was the number one issue pressing this country in that guy's life. So to me, that...
You know what, though? I will say this. If you can get a sign out with your name on it shown on live television during a political convention, you've made it in life. I mean, even if he doesn't...
He's made it in life regardless. He's in the NFL.
Exactly.
I mean, even if he only played 1 year or 2 years and made like the minimum $400,000, yeah, I think he did do something better because he did something that only a fraction of people have been able to do, and that's play in the National Football League.
All right.
Now he's a Super Bowl MVP, and he's got a streak. He had a streak going of consecutive games, and still relevant in the league. Even what 8 years later?
Yeah, exactly. So enough about the elite question. Enough about Clinton and Trump. Enough about Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott.
I did not mention their names whatsoever.
I did, but I'm saying enough about them.
I just said the conventions.
This game right here, the 13-7 win over the Buffalo Bills. Here's the one thing that stood out to me, Ray. The number 160. That is the number of total yards, passing and rushing, that the Baltimore Ravens defense allowed in this game. And considering the fact that this was a defense that was known to give up the big play here and there last season, that is a big step in improvement for that defense, for Dean Pease's team right there.
Another standout you could also look at is Mike Wallace. All of a sudden could be a surprise pickup for the Baltimore Ravens because he had three catches for 91 yards, including a 68-yarder for a touchdown that put the Ravens up 10-0 in the first half. That was a big thing because you're looking at a lot of people who have fantasy teams that just took Mike Wallace as like a sleeper pick or reached for him, and now all of a sudden they're saying to themselves, hey, nice little pickup right here. Could be a little bit of trade bait. Could be a little bit of maybe I could keep him and see if he can keep up this momentum, especially going into next week with Steve Smith Sr. being covered. And now with Mike Wallace, his performance on Sunday leaves a lot up in the air for what exactly this Ravens offense can do.
Yeah, when you look at the Ravens' offense overall, especially in this game, in the first half, you could say the first half statistically was their best half, especially in the passing game. By the end of the first half, Joe Flacco had 180 yards passing and realistically should have kept their foot on the pedal and probably kept those numbers going, but that's neither here or there. But yeah, you look at Mike Wallace, especially in the second quarter where he caught that 66-yard bomb by Joe Flacco for a touchdown. You know, everybody has, all the critics have said about Mike Wallace over the years, Mike Wallace is a guy that you can hit on the bomb, but you can't hit it in the routes. He's not your typical go-to wide receiver. But an example right there, that 66-yard pass for a touchdown to Mike Wallace is why you signed Mike Wallace in the first place. Also, another thing to take away from this, we got to see Breshad Perriman. He caught a 35-yard pass in the first quarter and also got up and wasn't hurt.
Yeah, even though there could be some questions about his injuries this week.
And we'll get to that shortly. Also, one thing in the passing game we got to bring up, Dennis Pitta, 3 catches, 39 yards, wasn't hurt at all. Isn't it funny we have to talk about, oh yeah, Steve Smith, 5 catches, 19 yards, wasn't hurt. We had to bring up 3 guys.
That weren't hurt.
That were, yeah.
We're celebrating that.
We're celebrating that.
You're looking at the edge of your seat as soon as they get tackled, like, get up, please get up. Yes, he's all right.
Oh, by the way, Justin Forsett, 10 carries, 41 yards, averaging 4.1 yards a carry.
Oh, and they cut him a couple weeks ago.
Wasn't hurt. But no. Yeah, and they brought him back. Was that like an oh my bad move right there?
I think it was kind of a low ball move, to tell you the truth.
You think so?
They wanted him to take a little bit less money.
Yeah, you would have thought so. I mean, he didn't really perform all that well in the preseason.
Well, so the preseason.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think he would have been signed elsewhere if he would have went elsewhere?
I think so.
Especially after last year?
Well, I would think so, just because running back is kind of a shallow position nowadays. I'm still surprised, you know, nobody has really picked up on the Ray Rice hype train yet.
All right, well, here's the good and bad we can take away from the Ravens' offensive play. I will say the good was Joe Flacco going 22 for 33, 258 yards, 1 touchdown, and having a 100.3 quarterback rating at the end of the game. However, the bad in that, Ray, he got sacked 4 times for 33 yards. Ravens O-line, you got to protect your quarterback better. He's playing on a bad knee right now.
You got to protect him better, or he's going to end up like Cam Newton on Thursday. Good grief. That was terrible.
Or end up like RG3.
Now, that was even worse because, I mean, well, yeah, Cam Newton got his bell rung like multiple times by the Denver Broncos. But, yes, Robert Griffin III has been put on injured reserve and is out for at least 8 weeks after a hit on the sidelines where I think he was trying to get out of bounds, and all of a sudden, I think his receiver missed a block, and then the guy just sprung right into him, and RG3 was like, oh, crap.
Do you think RG3 is a good enough sport to be in one of those DirecTV commercials with Peyton Manning calling him, asking him what he's doing on Sunday?
I don't know if DirecTV would do that as their advertising campaign.
That is very true.
I mean, they had the painfully awkward Rob Lowe's and the crazy hairy Rob Lowe's. Did you see the roast of Rob Lowe, by the way?
I saw bits and pieces on Facebook.
It was quite humorous, I thought. A little political at times, but very humorous.
Very humorous.
And then everything else that was happening with Robert Griffin III, because the Ravens facing the Browns, they're going to be facing a RG3-less Browns. And you're just wondering how this team is going to perform. Are they going to perform down to the Browns? Because all signs are pointing to the fact that the Browns season is over. It was over before it even began.
Is it too late to say, is it not too late? Is it too early to say that this could be a trap game for the Baltimore Ravens?
That's what I was kind of alluding to, because you're looking at the way the Cleveland Browns are. They just lost their starting quarterback for 8 weeks. They had the whole drama with Johnny Manziel in the offseason, and then everything else that was happening. They just seemed like not to improve. And with that going on, you think this would be an easy win for the Ravens, especially since it's a division game in the AFC North, and you want to be able to get some momentum in the division, something that you want to have over a team like Pittsburgh, who, all intents and purposes, are the favorite to win the AFC North, and then you've got the Bengals doing what they do. You want to be able to pick up this win, Josh, because if you don't treat it like an actual game and it becomes a trap game, then you could be getting into a little bit of trouble in week 2 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Not that we condone or condemn gambling on this show, but Las Vegas, Ray, has the Ravens favored at -7 against the Cleveland Browns going into this game.
Oh,
so they happen to know something. Maybe they know something. Maybe Josh McCown isn't what he used to be, especially in the first game. You remember that first game at M&T Bank Stadium that the Ravens played the Browns? I think Josh McCown threw for 360 yards and 4 touchdowns. It was just a horrific performance by the secondary. However, the same secondary that had to defend against LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins did a decent job. Oh, and Tyrod Taylor, who was a Pro Bowler.
A Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, they had to defend against all that.
And they did well.
And they did well.
And you're also forgetting the fact that that secondary last year did not have Eric Weddle.
That is very true, too. And or an improved Sharice Wright. If we had to take away a defensive player of the game, Sharice Wright had 11 tackles against the Bills, which is good that you're seeing a much faster, stronger Ravens defense. All right, prediction time, Ray. How do you see this game going down, and what's the final score?
I don't think this is a trap game.
No?
I actually think that the Ravens are going to go off in this game.
They're going to put the foot on the proverbial throat of the Browns?
I'm going to say 49-14.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hold on, folks. When was the last time Ray Atkinson predicted a 40... 20-something, I get. 40-point win for the Baltimore Ravens?
Wait, I said 49-14. Where's your math at? That's 35, man.
I'm talking about in the 40s. Okay.
Yeah, okay, as in the – you were about to say a 40-point win.
Okay.
Continue.
I'm not going to be that generous. However, I do think the first half will be a little bit uneasy, but by the time we get to the middle of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, this will be a runaway game for the Baltimore Ravens. I had them winning 31-12 against the Browns, and the Browns get nothing but field goals. Joe Flacco will have 3 passing touchdowns. I'll say Terrence West gets a touchdown as well.
Well, let's hope that they don't live up to the Baltimore Sports free-for-all curse when we both pick them to win by a wide margin and they end up losing 10-7.